Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. I mean, he put on a decent halftime show, did he not?
It's not the worst one I've seen, I'll put it that way.
That's true.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is your NFL Super Bowl, let's call it extravaganza.
Super Bowl mania, and what just unbelievable mania and chaos and just wow. Like, I don't know what you sort of expected to see out of this game, but I did not expect to see what we got.
Not that, but I started when I was frantically working out my let's call them multis. Just shout out to Sportsbet, but
late game multis. late game multis destroyed me.
Everything I kept reading when I was looking, and I went against the grain, but everything I kept reading was don't sleep on how terrible at the moment is the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line is, because there's a lot of decent players out and there's a lot of people that they've picked up on the waiver wire, and clearly
they had two of their starters out and no one more important than Eric Fisher, like the left tackle.
And yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I think their starting setter was his eighth team in like 2 or 3 years. So I went against that grain, and clearly that's the way it went. That's just where that's how I felt looking at that entire game. That's how it was won. Easily.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the stat that's out there that's floating around is Mahomes ran for 497 yards of offense. He only had 34 rushing yards, but 497 yards of total running in that game, running for his absolute life. And the only thing that I can compare it to is Happy Gilmore when Shooter McGavin steals the gold jacket and Mr. Larson is chasing after him down the hill going, because that's what it looked like. There was defensive linemen, there's linebacker, there's Shaq Barrett. They're just chasing him everywhere. It was unbelievable.
Sue was going off. He was just going for his life.
Him and
Barrett, and I think Cam Gill was in there as well. They were terrorizing him. And then when he sort of tried to get the ball away, you had the two fast Devin White, Levante David just covering everybody, literally everybody. I didn't realize until I watched this game, I guess the second time, how fast Devin White is. Just his first step. It's just, oh my God, I can't. I mean, it's, yeah, they de-played it perfectly. And
yeah, just, well, it unbelievably was disruptive from the get-go. Like, yeah. I guess it sort of took a little while to work into the game. Like, I thought there was a little bit of nerves on both sides. Probably not so much with Brady, but his first series was a 3-and-out. You know, Mahomes early, the signs weren't good.
No,
like the signs weren't good at all. He was 1 for 6, and then in the second quarter he was 3 for 11, and then at halftime he was 9 for 19. So the signs from the get go, could you say was the writing on the wall right there and then? But even when they're down 14, they're down 17, they're down 20. There's just, I guess, you know, in your mind, there's still a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
last year, they were down 24-0 in the second quarter to Houston. And granted, it was the Houston Texans and not this, you know, not this Tampa Bay defense, but you just knew that something, once something started to happen and once there was a little bit of momentum going the other way to the Chiefs, then it could happen, but it just never eventuated.
And that's where a lot of bets I thought were, I mean, for me, that's, I put that not during the game, but at the start, my, like, I did look at the offensive line, and then I just went, but it's Patrick Mahomes, so that's why I'm putting money on it. And I'm sure everybody was probably doing the same thing, but it's Patrick Mahomes, and there's a second half. It was such a brilliant Todd Bowles, who's their defensive coordinator for the Bucs, game plan. He didn't really play a lot of rushing, which is good. A lot of rushing defensive plays. I noticed he played a lot of
He doesn't like to blitz a lot, but he likes to change up coverage. A fair bit. So
yeah,
I think he's got one of the lowest blitz percentages in the NFL. As a defensive coordinator, yeah. But
it was a 9.6 blitz on in that game. So that's
Mahomes. There's stats alert. Mahomes was pressured on 57% of dropbacks.
Yeah,
like that is just otherworldly. Whereas Tom Brady, 6% of dropbacks. Like the tale of two sides of the ball. Like they're just Kansas City's D could not get to anywhere near Tom Brady. Defensively, like penalties for them as well in the first half were just brutal.
There was a couple of shoddy ones, but it was, I think they end up getting at the start in that first half at least. I thought it was like, wasn't there like 6 or 8 penalties for 110 yards in total of yardage?
They had 8 penalties for 95 yards. They had a couple of PI penalties in the last 2 minutes, which ended up costing another touchdown just before halftime.
Yeah.
And also another one that was a little bit earlier on, a Ward holding call on Kansas City nullified an interception. And that totally changes the game, especially in the second quarter.
Yeah.
You know, Mathieu got, Honey Badger got himself an interception, but a holding call on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
It just got from bad to worse there. Like the two PI calls, in the last two, or I think that, just on either side of the 2 minute warning, but they were killers. They were absolute killers.
How about Brady getting his boy Gronk the first touchdown? Well, first couple.
Of course.
Why didn't we put money on that? Because that was painfully obvious. I can't believe
it. He got all these boys involved. He got Gronk a couple. He got AB a touchdown. Like it just to me, I found that a little bit funny too. Because if you have a look on the other side of the, or not the other side of the card, but Mike Evans has one catch, 31 yards, one target. Chris Godwin has 4 targets, 2 catches for 9 yards.
Yeah.
But yet, oh no, my boys, Gronk gets 6.
Now look at the end.
Antonio Brown gets 5 catches. Like, yeah, got to get my boys involved. I thought that was a little strange that it's just like, okay, yes, it's crunch time. Yes, it's the biggest game of the year, but now I better get my boys involved, and don't worry about the guys that have been wearing these colors for the last few years. This is my time, and I'm gonna get involved. I think I can trust in this situation.
And of course it is. And playoff Lenny too. Lenny was on fire. 89 yards, and then he got a couple of he got 4 targets and 4 catches for 46 yards. But I agree. I mean, if I was Godwin now, who's a free agent, I'd be saying, oh, well, that's fine. I don't have to get the ball. People know how good I am. I've won my ring. I'll just command money. He won't be there. He'll command money somewhere else.
Yeah, he's out there, and there's a possibility that he could be anywhere between 16 to 18 million a season.
Yeah, easily. So,
That's good money if you can find it.
So if he's not going to get the ball, he won't care. He's going to get. Oh, no, sorry, now he won't care because he's going to get paid somewhere else. But he did get it. They did get him involved. I still can't believe. Look, Kelce did get his stock standard 100 yards still, which is just a stock standard for him, which is still unbelievable. But It was Tyreek Hill was nullified, and I think that was from Devin White. Tyreek Hill, 73 yards, but he just didn't have that Tyreek Hill kind of game.
That was more in the second half. Like there was very few Tyreek Hill sightings in the first half.
Yeah.
They tried to get the run game happening a little bit this week. It was Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, it started on
that they tried to get involved.
Yeah.
Last week it was Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams was a non-factor in this game. As I said, Mahomes had 34 rushing yards. He sort of got involved early because he was under so much pressure. Once the pocket collapsed, then he had to break out of there. And yeah, he was getting some nice easy rushing yards. But by the end of it, he only ended up having 5 attempts, but that didn't really look like it scared Tampa's defense a lot. They're just like, okay, we'll have to live with that.
Yeah.
I think if they had, they caught him. That was the thing. They caught him. Been able to break out of the pocket and be elusive, and he was hobbled. Let's get that out there. He was hobbled. You know, it came out at 9:30 Super Bowl morning. This is something that I heard today on New York ESPN radio today. This is what I heard today, and today is nearly a week after the Super Bowl, but it came out that Mahomes had already had this surgery on this turf toe, inverted commas, booked in.
Yeah, I did hear that he already had it booked
in. This was before the Super Bowl, and this information had gotten out. And yet, everybody still came with the assumption of, yeah, but it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, okay, he had this turf toe, but it didn't seem to affect him in the Bills game before. That's what, you know, he's had that turf toe for a while, of what I read.
He's had it for a little while now.
It didn't affect him in that game. He got the same amount of, he got the same amount, 29 or 38 in that Bills game. So
There's no way he just didn't get pressured as much as what he did in this game.
That is literally, this whole game was as absolute pressure. Yeah. Clearly,
they just the Tampa's front defensive front four just wreaked havoc
against a pretty
offensive line of the Chiefs. Yeah, that's the story of the game.
That's exactly the story of the game. It was a depleted. I know that for next time. You just can't go off one name. Although you did it last year, so you sort of had to. But I went off the one name of Patrick Mahomes, and that's the only reason I did, regardless of how lackluster their offensive line was.
No, it's all right, because usually he can escape the pocket, and still some of the throws that he was throwing, there's 360 pirouettes that are so reckless. Like after he's done it, the 360 scampered for 25 yards sideways. There's a couple of times where he's almost been caught, just hoiks it.
So,
and it's near pinpoint accurate.
I'm glad you brought this up. I'm actually glad you brought this up for two things. So the first thing, I listen later to a lot of Bucks players that were mic'd up with a mic on the sideline, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were just going, "This guy's an absolute wizard. How the hell does he get in these positions and throw the ball the way he does?" So, yeah, wizard aside. But then the other point I wanted to say to you, or a question is, look, what Brady's what, 42, 43?
43 now.
Mahomes signed a 10-year contract, and I think that this is the first year of his 10-year contract, or second year possibly.
No, I think this is
first year. Okay.
First, I think.
So, and let's say, you know, they're putting him in that bracket of he's following Brady. I think I know my answer, but can he sustain the way he's playing right now for the next 10 years?
For 10 years, possibly, but to have the career that Brady's had, Brady has always been that traditional pocket passer.
From the start, the
boring statue. That's a pocket passer. And it still looks like it. That kind of play, that style of play, will stand the test of time. Because have a look at the two guys. Yeah, one guy that Tom Brady dumped out of the playoffs this year, and Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Pocket passer. Those two guys, he's 42.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got himself a nice restructured contract now that takes a lot of salary cap pressure off, which to me sounds like it's going to be the first step of retirement. And that's another story for another day.
Just before you move on, I just on that really quickly, I think he restructured that because I honestly think he's going to go after a wide receiver. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Yeah, I think anyway.
all draft things that I've seen as well, that they're targeting wide receivers in the draft too. So
you've got about 51 you can pick from in this one. Oh my god, I could just imagine.
That's right. There's a thousand of them. There's a thousand quarterbacks in this one as well.
Like Marvin Jones. That's who I think. Anyway, continue.
He can't
sustain it. Like it's a 10-year. Right. So he's 25 now. Well, he'll be 35 by the year.
Not to say that he can't sustain it. Yeah, he can sustain it, but it's the situation of how about we just we play a little bit of role play. Let's switch quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Let's put Sam Darnold behind that Kansas City Chiefs offensive line and those weapons that he's got there. What does Sam Darnold look like? That's what you don't have to answer, but what does he look anywhere near as good as Patrick Mahomes? Probably not, but I reckon he would still look pretty good. Now, you put Patrick Mahomes behind a mediocre to poor offensive line. This is the result you get. And it doesn't matter that he's got Travis Kelce. It doesn't matter that he's got Tyreek Hill and these guys. If you can't get the run game going, then it makes it hard to spread the field out. Yes, you've got Tyreek Hill. He's one of the fastest guys out there. You've got one of the best informed tight ends that's going around. But if you can't protect your quarterback, then the battle's half lost.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And the other thing I was thinking too, so he's got a 10-year contract. This is Brady's seventh now. It is seven.
This is number seven. Like, it just unequivocally the best quarterback that's ever played in the NFL. Like, he's the oldest quarterback to play and win in a Super Bowl. There's all sorts of ridiculous records that
he's got. He's going to effectively, this is Mahomes, he's won one, and this is his first year of a 10-year contract. If he's going to be 35 and then starting to get into those Tom Brady years, if he's going to last that long, he's going to have to win at least half of those.
The other funny stat that sort of gets thrown around, and it's non-comparable, but it's just funny to see that. You know, this is Brady's, 21st season. This is the 10th time that he's made the Super Bowl. Steph Curry, you know, in his career, averages 44% from behind the three-point line. So you're telling me that Tom Brady has more chance of making the Super Bowl than what Steph Curry does in making a three-point shot? Just marinate in that for a little bit.
Wow, that is one ridiculous stat. I didn't realize that.
And I've seen that. I've seen that floating around in multiple places. And that just to put it in that perspective, the greatest shooter that the NBA has ever seen. Yet Tom Brady has got a better percentage chance of making the Super Bowl in a sport like that.
Yeah.
Than Steph Curry does in making a three. It's ludicrous.
I think unequivocally, he is the greatest NFL player of all time. I don't think there's any question, really. I honestly don't think there's any question.
You have a look at the playoff run that he went through. You know, it took them up until the final 4 or 3 minutes to knock off Washington against Tyler Henneke, who had a bunk shoulder. Then you go into New Orleans, who has beat you down twice throughout the season. You get Drew Brees to throw three picks. You knock the Saints out, so you knock out another an all-time great. Then you go to Lambeau Field, and Tom Brady throws three interceptions on three separate series, on the three series in a row. Just try to gift the game to Green Bay. It's a bit of a shonky call by Matt LaFleur to go for the field goal, which the shonky call that we have there. He knocks off Aaron Rodgers, and then this thing, everybody is just totally writing him off because it's Patrick Mahomes, And now he goes through and he unceremoniously dumps him as well. Like, it's just, it's unbelievable the gauntlet that he ran in the playoffs this year. Besides the fact that Tyler Henneke was a third string quarterback for Washington, who funnily enough has just found himself in a 2-year deal. So, you know, I think a couple of performances at the end of the year have just got him paid for a couple of years.
And it's funny you say that. And really, if you look at all those games, this is still Tom Brady. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at all those games, and even this one, he didn't have a standout, beautiful game in all of those games. The difference is what he instills in that team. I think it's having Tom Brady. Yeah, it's having Tom Brady there.
He must just elevate people to a place that they could probably only dream that they could elevate themselves to. And that's the thing, you know. No one's saying that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Cameron Brate are scrubs.
No.
But it just must be that confidence.
It's a confidence.
And the way that he sort of conducts himself, the way that he gets everybody involved, the way that he takes a lot of the focus off himself and puts it and gives it to other people, gives it to the coaching staff. Gives it to the defense and how well they played and everybody across that sort of, you know, on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable what that man does off the field and the confidence it must just instill in everybody.
And you can see it. You can see it in games. You really can see it. I guess it's sort of pretty, well, a couple of them are pretty obvious, but we'll look at, before we move on, had you ever stud and dud for this game at all?
Look, I thought something that was worth mentioning was a couple of guys that sort of have gone from the scrap heap to the Super Bowl in Leonard Fournette, who was waived, and Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was sort of worth it. I thought they were good in this game, but yeah, the obvious choice. The stud is Todd Bowles and the Bucs defensively.
Of course it is. And that's why I don't like the MVP. Like, yes, the quarterback 19 times out of 20 is going to get the MVP.
Of course. But, there was going to be no other person that was going to get the MVP. Early in the game, if the trend had continued, it could have 100% gone to Gronk.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, anybody in that defense should have got it. Like, anybody... Devon White, Lavonte David were brilliant. So was Antoine Winfield as well. But yeah, I had the same stud.
You go back to the last defensive player that won Super Bowl MVP was Von Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, you know, in his last Super Bowl, and that's, I mean, he wasn't so much as much of a passenger, as Tom Brady actually had influence over this game and. You know, Peyton Manning in that didn't really, but do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not out of the realms of possibility, but I think it totally could have gone to any number of defensive players. You know, well, like you said, yeah, whether it's Ndamukong Suh, you know, whether it's Barrett, yeah, Vita Vea was massive.
Yeah, he was.
He turned into the biggest fullback in the history of Tampa, like two straight times they tried Vita Vea at fullback and it didn't work. It was just funny to watch that. Four of Tampa's first five drives were scoring plays, were essentially touchdowns. The other one that they didn't convert on was stopped at the goal line.
Yeah,
they could have had five scores straight up. So that was a telling sign as well. But absolutely, it was Tampa's defense.
I'd have to give credit to Jameis Winston too, because if you look at a lot of this defensive line, a lot of them in the last 4 or 5 years, and Vita Vea as one is first round picks. So Vita Vea went 12. So if it wasn't for the way Jameis Winston played, they wouldn't. I mean, they drafted well. Don't get me wrong, but they wouldn't have picked up all these players. So
no, well, and that's right too.
Lenny, I can't work playoff Lenny. I can't work out how he passed waiver wire and no one picked him up, because now he'll get a 50.
It.
He'll get a $50 million contract now.
I don't get it. I've no idea why so many. I think it was just the fact of, oh wow, Jacksonville don't want him, so why in the hell do we want him? Like, that's all I can think of. I think it's just, you know, that narrative that was out there, that it's just like, oh. And then the more teams that began to pass on him, then other teams would have been like, oh well, they don't want him either. Why do we want him? So it must have just ballooned out of control, and it only takes one team. It only takes one team to fall in love with you, yeah, and have a look what happens.
Did you have a dud for the game at all?
Defensive the Kansas City's defense and those defensive penalties.
The penalties.
Brutal.
Well, like, I mean, I have to say the refs a little bit at the start. The refs were a little bit whistle happy, I thought, at least at the start.
Yeah, look, they had one offensive penalty the whole game.
Yeah.
The rest were all defensive penalties. So they had it was 11 penalties for 120 yards. So you take out the one penalty that they had for 8 yards, which was a holding. I think it was just an offensive holding call. Yeah. So 10 penalties for 112 yards. That's a setback. I think the biggest momentum changer to me was the Travarius Ward holding call, which nullified Mathau's interception.
Yeah.
That's the momentum killer. That could have been something that could have sparked Kansas City along, but it just dug them deeper into a hole.
Well, that was the Super Bowl. We'll move on to some other news. I mean, just before the Super Bowl, there was your NFL honors for 2021. I'll run through the rewards. Oh my God, it was a reward for some people, but
for some it was
for some people. But yeah, the awards that went out. I mean, it may as well start with the big one, the MVP. I think it was pretty much a two horse race at the end there, and it ended up being Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I thought that was pretty obvious, glaringly obvious. I thought
as the season rolled on. It got more glaringly obvious.
Yeah.
I think at the start of the season, even the first half of the season, I think it was Russell Wilson. But as the season wore on, he got a little bit sort of lackluster, I think. And Aaron Rodgers just went from strength to strength. So I think it was a pretty obvious sort of choice in Rodgers to get his third MVP.
Mahomes was probably still in there because just on a 14-2 record, so
best record in the league. Well, and Green Bay with 13-3, so you can't really sort of say too much about that either. But I think that was the unanimous pick from everybody, I would think.
I guess speaking for me at least, for unanimous, the offensive player of the year went to Derrick Henry.
Another given. Really, just
the heart of that complete Tennessee offense. 2,000 yards, like my God, 2,000 yards. I don't get it. Like that's so. He become the eighth member of the NFL 2,000 club. So I only had a league high 378 carries. So
just the true definition of a thumper. Like just unbelievable. And some of the what they like to call over there, the stiff arms that he sort of gave to linebackers and defensive backs. Like, it just must be an absolute nightmare to tackle. Like, an absolute nightmare to tackle.
Oh, he's just – look how big he is.
He's just a thick human being.
Speaking of thick human beings, the defensive player of the year, it's his third now, Aaron Donald. I mean, I truly believe that this guy is the best player in the NFL. Like, and I don't think it's close.
It's sad that he didn't really get a whole lot of consideration for league MVP.
Yeah.
A couple of seasons ago when he won his second defensive player of the year, he was absolutely in contention. I think he had 22.5 or 23.5 sacks. But I don't think he got that many this year. But he was just an absolute demon. In that, you know, as your sort of outside yeah, that outside presence. But this year, it was a little bit sad that he maybe didn't get as much recognition for actual league MVP than what he probably deserved.
And this is a guy that's, and you know, to get 13 and a half sacks, I mean, he had a couple of games out. To get that and then 14 tackles for loss, he's a linesman that plays on the inside too. He doesn't play on the outside. He's not an edge rusher.
Oh, yeah, not an edge rusher. Yeah, he's an interior.
That's what I mean.
It's ridiculous what he does, the amount of double teams that he gets, and he still just wrecks front fours. Like, it's unreal.
Move on to the rookies, the offensive rookie of the year. I think, look, most of these awards are pretty straightforward, weren't they? It was Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably has to, unfortunately, thank the doctor that put the puncture to the lung of Tyrod Taylor. But
he should be handing that trophy off to the LA Chargers doctor that popped Tyrod Taylor's lung. Absolutely.
He threw a rookie record.
Nice fat bonus.
He threw a rookie record 31 touchdowns in 15 games. He had a passer rating of 98.3. So for a rookie, I mean, huge arm. You could see it.
He had some good stuff to work with though, didn't he?
Oh, of course he does. He still does.
Look, Keenan Allen had a few games out. Mike Williams had a few games out. Mike Williams sort of drifted in and out of games, but he's always that deep ball threat. Austin Ekeler had a lot of games out. I know you know that. So it's not as if is that he didn't have much to work with, but he made well with the opportunities that he was given.
And he still looks like, even with that haircut, it looks like he's still 12 years old. But anyway, he's still got acne. My God,
that's what I mean. Like he would have to shave like once every 2 months,
at least. And defensive rookie of the year was again pretty straightforward. Chase Young, edge defensive end, I guess. Sorry for the Washington football team. He was pretty dominant.
Look, numbers that he put up they haven't seen for a rookie since Terrell Suggs. So if he's on that sort of trajectory, good grief. Yeah. If he's going to be anywhere near what Terrell Suggs was, then Washington's definitely got themselves a good one there. I think he had 7.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries. Like he was, yeah. And he was the main cheerleader in, I want Tom, bring on Tom in the first round of the playoffs. You know, in Super Wild Card Weekend, he was the voice. He was the voice behind that. He wanted Tom. Yeah. Like, granted, it didn't go so well for him, and he didn't get Tom. But you got to love the confidence of him.
Last two awards, the Comeback Player of the Year. I mean, it couldn't be anybody else but Alex Smith, could it?
It just simply couldn't have. Just the most amazing story. Yeah, looking at the 2.5 year journey that he's had.
He almost died from an infection. He almost died.
That's right. He almost lost his leg. And the thing was, it wasn't going to be his decision. Like, his wife was the one that was almost going to have to make that decision of, do I get these doctors to cut my husband's leg off or he is going to die? Like, that is unbelievable. And for him to even be back in, you know, semi shape and game shape, but for him to go out there and do what he did. Look, he didn't play out of his skin. Like, he wasn't the greatest quarterback that was, but for him to be out there and to be, that's fearless. There must be so many demons running around in his head when you're out on that field, trying to process the offense and everything like that. And then just having that little, that little sparkle in the back of your head going, especially if somebody's, broken through the line and starts chasing after you, you'd be like, uh-oh.
Like Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
They didn't play Aaron Donald, but uh-oh. Oh, man, yeah. Throw the ball away.
Oh, yeah, you just got to just preserve yourself. Preserve the body.
And coach of the year went to a couple of coaches, I thought, but ended up going to Kevin Stefanski for the Browns. mean,
I thought that was deserved. This was the season that I think a lot of people in the NFL and a lot of Cleveland fans out there thought that they were going to have last year. So for them to sort of step up to the plate and get the job done, get into the playoffs this year, I think was probably a year behind schedule. It's unfortunate that they lost a couple of players to injury. No more notable than Odell Beckham Jr. But for them to do what they did, especially in a tough division like the AFC North, is remarkable, and that they've got, I guess you can sort of go forward with that formula. They've got two of the better running backs getting around at the moment, like that two-headed monster with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb is definitely a formula that they can work on. I think it was pretty obvious last year that putting the ball 45 plus times in Baker Mayfield's hands is a little bit far beyond his capabilities at this point in time. Not to say that he can't get better or anything like that. This is what, year three now for Baker. So they've got the formula now. It's time to sort of refine that and for them to, not to say that obviously you can improve in every facet of the game, but an improvement on 11-5, that's huge. If they can improve on that next year.
Yeah, it was the last year's coach, Freddie Kitchens, and had no idea what to do with Baker Mayfield. And that's the biggest thing, I think, for Stefanski. That's why I thought he won this award. I mean, except for the 11-5 record, of course. But he knew exactly what you just said. He knew Baker Mayfield doesn't have to throw the ball 45 times. You've got that two-headed monster. If you need to throw it, you've still got some weapons on the outside. And then, having Myles Garrett on the other side was just, he's injured a little bit, but
I think he missed a couple of games with COVID too, didn't he?
He'll be up there. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he'll be up there next year, going against Donald for that defensive play, because he's that good, I think. So, look, there's other little awards we don't probably need to go through. Well, most of them haven't been named anyway, so. But I think they're your main ones. I think they were all pretty straightforward, the awards. I mean, it's all regular season anyway, so you don't nothing. So nothing is counted into, obviously, clearly, and shouldn't be anyway, into playoff season.
No.
Next bit of news, and this is before we get into our ridiculous quarterback carousel that's going to happen, I think, this offseason. This offseason is going to be unbelievable.
The circus of QBs. That this off season is going to be it's going to be, there's the possibility of 18 quarterback moves. 18, that's more than half the league.
Yeah. And it's all started with one, the Rams. Like, the Rams have done it for a little bit, but they've gone again all in. They've traded for Matthew Stafford. They have traded two first round pick and a third round pick and Jared Goff to the Lions for Matthew Stafford, who's 33. I thought that needs to be sort of mentioned. What was your reaction when you seen it?
I was a little surprised. I knew LA were definitely in the mix. Apparently Carolina were in the mix as well. I heard a really good offer.
They had a really good offer.
I think they could have offered the better package, but... Stafford's preferred destination was Los Angeles.
I was listening, I think it was Adam Schefter was on there with Bill Simmons to a podcast. I mean, obviously, it's the same sort of rules, the whole tampering, but apparently... Sean McVay was at Cabo, because him and... I think it's Schefter, but him and, like, a really, really good mate. So they text him that all the time. And... Stafford conveniently checked into the same hotel 2 days later. So,
about that.
So, it's all like, they didn't say, I'm sure they didn't say any words, but clearly I'm guessing the point is that Sean McVay was, and he said it too, it's on him if this doesn't work. He was all in for Matthew Stafford. He clearly wasn't, after that last game, wasn't all in for Jared Goff.
Well, it was just funny too. I think it was the GM there at the Rams. You know, he was having a Zoom interview or a Zoom a conversation with I can't remember if it was somebody on SportsCenter, and we were saying that Jared Goff, and we said it twice. Like, Jared Goff is our quarterback at this moment.
Yeah, at this moment.
So it's just like, ooh, all right. Well, what's so I guess they were sort of that. Even then, they might have been actively seeking trade partners, and you know, one of the better trades that would have come up would have been to get Matthew Stafford, just landed right in their lap. So,
what's interesting is the Lions GM, the new Lions GM, Brad Holmes, was the one that drafted Jared Goff. He was the GM at LA, so. He likes him, and honestly,
well, clearly,
but what do you think? Like, what do you think? Say what you think in a sec. I think it works both ways. I honestly don't. I don't think it's a bad move for the Lions because they've still got two first rounders out of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not instant gratification though.
Of course not.
It's a third rounder in this upcoming draft, and then the two first rounders are 22. 2022 and 2023. So I guess they're sort of banking on, you know, maybe a bit of a, but for, it's not like the NBA, like, you know, first rounders in the NFL are an absolute premium. Yes. So you can always find what you're looking for mid to late first round. So, you know, to have those in the bank for the next 2 years after this year is good for Detroit. It is, yeah, just a complete and utter breakdown and rebuild there. I think too, with them sort of facilitating this trade to LA, getting Stafford to where he wanted to go, I think was a little bit of a reward for Stafford, you know, for the service that he's given them and the disservice that the actual Detroit Lions have given him. No offensive weapons to throw to except for Calvin Johnson. No offensive, no protection. And he's the all-time leader in passing yards, touchdowns, you know, for the Detroit Lions in franchise history. So it's a little bit of a reward for his loyalty to stick around. Does this now make LA instant contenders next year?
It has to. It has to, and it doesn't. I thought when I seen it, it has to.
I think it absolutely does. I think it absolutely does.
But we also, the unknown is that Matthew Stafford has only played in one playoff game and hasn't won one. So he's only played one playoff game. We don't know what he's going to be like in the playoffs. Exactly. That is the unknown.
He's been with a horrible franchise who's won one playoff game since the 60s.
Yeah.
So the ineptness of the Detroit Lions just as a franchise is unbelievable. But yet the Detroit faithful, the Michigan faithful, still show up every week to support, you know, their team. It's just funny how you can't have, you know, limited success for that long.
Yeah.
Like, it just, yeah, sort of going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I listened to the Rebirth podcast about the Louisiana Superdome after Hurricane Katrina and everything that went through there. The Saints were a horrible franchise for 20 years, you know, throughout the 70s and 80s. I think they had two winning. It took them 18 years to have a winning season. You know, it took them until 2000 to win their first playoff game. Like, it's for a team like that now. Yeah, now they've had a little bit more of sustained success, but you just got a feel for Lions fans and the city of Detroit to have, you know, such good and loyal fans you know, to have guys in your franchise that, you know, along the lines of Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, and Matthew Stafford, and to have little to no success is disappointing.
But well, Cal, the reason they did this,
there's 32 teams in the NFL, like, even in a salary cap sport, you'd think the success would still be sort of shared around a little bit because the salary cap levels, the playing field. But in some cases, it just doesn't.
And that's why they, you're speaking of Calvin Johnson, that's why they sort of did this trade with LA, because they didn't want to burn the bridges like they did with Calvin Johnson.
Oh, so. They essentially, you know, with Barry Sanders as well, they drove both of them into the ground and made them so disgruntled with actually playing football that they wanted out.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We don't really want to play for another team, but we can't keep doing this anymore, and we're done.
Yeah. Now, I guess speaking of the carousel, like it's, we sort of said, essentially there could be up to 18 teams that will, I guess, effectively, well, could change or lose or pick up their quarterback. I've put down, I think, honestly, 10, and this is Detroit, and I put down 10 definites. Look, starting with Chicago Bears. Trubisky's contract's expiring. They didn't pick it up. Nick Foles, clearly that experiment failed. What do you reckon? What do they do? Like, what do they...
Rumors swirling very strongly towards them making a trade for Carson Wentz.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay.
Listening to as much, you know, ESPN radio as I have over the last 2 weeks, there are very, very strong convictions of them making a deal for Carson Wentz. There's a deal for Wentz imminent. He is another one of the, you know, disgruntled QBs that's out there that sort of it hasn't really, you know, become super public. I think it's public enough, but it hasn't necessarily come out of his mouth. But yeah, he is very, very disgruntled on what's happening there, even with the new coach that's coming in, which is a little bizarre because by the sounds of it, his relationship with Doug Peterson was very fractured by the end of it. So he gets turfed, but it's still not quite enough. So they're, like I said, they're only rumors, but a trade for Wentz is imminent. And I'm surprised it's taken this long after the Stafford trade for dominoes to start to fall. All it was going to take was one, and Stafford was the first one to come through. It's just a little bizarre that now more haven't started to fall into place.
It is a little bit bizarre. I did hear another name, and I think they're looking to move on, and they're looking pretty hungry in the market. I heard Derek Carr to the Chicago Bears, because they can move on from Carr. They can nearly save $20 million. And of everything I keep reading, I don't know if they'll get him, but they're pretty into getting Deshaun Watson. I don't know if that's going to work out, but I don't mind Derek Carr. I think that's not a bad fit at the Chicago Bears. I don't know, Derek. Derek Carr is one of those players I can't work out because I don't like.
He doesn't make enough noise. He's like a Kirk Cousins. Is he good? Yes. Is he bad? Yes. I don't know.
He's an enigma.
I don't know what he is. When he's on and he's good, he's good. He's very good. But there's certain times that you look at him and you just like, oof, like just, so yes, some of the play, you know, and let's not forget he was injured for pretty much a whole season there a couple of years ago after they made the playoffs and they had a bit of a good run there for one of their last few seasons in Oakland. And obviously this year they were very enigmatic this year, you know, with the teams that they beat, like they beat the Saints, they beat the Chiefs. So, you know, that was one of the Chiefs' losses was Las Vegas. So for them to be so the difference between the good and the bad is, you know, with them being on, and they've got the right offensive weapons there, I think. You didn't really see a whole lot out of Henry Ruggs this year, which I thought was a little disappointing. I thought they could have used him more. But yeah, for them to have the mutant tight end that's Darren Waller, you know, Josh Jacobs there.
Nelson Aguilar, who had a good year too.
Aguilar, who had a shocking really good year the year before
yeah.
in Philadelphia, And now he's sort of had a little bit of a – I think when Aguilar is a first or second round pick, like he's not –
No, you know, he had a great year.
He's got the talent. Like he had the drop seas a couple of years ago, but yeah, I think that's a very intriguing sort of deal. And where does that leave Marcus Mariota? Back up there for Vegas. So, you know, does he just continue to sit behind whoever's the starter there, or does he try and find an avenue to try and get himself out of there and into a position where he can be a starter again?
What about my team, the Dallas Cowboys?
What are they doing?
This is Jerry Jones. No one knows what Jerry Jones does. Is it conceivably possible that they move on from Dak Prescott?
It's unbelievable if they do. It would be unbelievable if they do.
I mean, they can franchise tag.
He's got as much of a sure thing as a quarterback, and he has proven it.
Yeah.
He is as good a quarterback as there is around, you know, as, I guess in that second tier of quarterbacks. To move on from him would be pure insanity.
Unless you pick up something like this character.
Like what? Like you can't trade him.
No, you can't.
That means you've got to go fishing out into the free agent market.
We don't have much money, much cap space either. So, I think if they don't work out a deal, I'll have to franchise tag him. That's pretty.
They'll have to tag, and that's good for him because that's instant cash. That's guaranteed cash.
That's like $35 million.
Obviously,
he
wants the long term stability. Whether it's rumors, you know, whether sources out there that he wants, the team wants to lock him up for 5 years, but he only wants a 4-year deal because he wants to go into free agency when the next broadcast deal comes up. So yeah, that means a whole bunch of new money. And yeah, that means he'll be, if he's anywhere near what he is still playing now in 4 years, then it's not 4 years now, it's 3 years. So that comes down by one. So it's just a bit of a funny one in that situation. They've got pretty good weapons there at the Cowboys.
I think we've got really good weapons.
Their offensive line a little bit.
Yeah.
And they really need to work defensively, you know, whether it's through the draft or pick up some cheapies in free agency. But for them to even be considering to moving on from Dak is just beyond belief.
I'll rattle off some teams and I'll see you've basically either got to say free agent or draft. We'll still talk about them, but Denver Broncos.
Apparently.
And then they're ninth.
Denver is one of the destinations that is apparently appealing to Deshaun Watson.
Yes. Yes, it is. I have a huge feeling where I think he is going to Deshaun Watson.
I don't think that would be a terrific fit.
No.
So I think they hold the course. They could possibly go out and try and find a somebody in free agency, Denver. But I think they're going to hold the course. I think they're going to stick one more year with Drew Lock.
And they've got the ninth pick, so. Detroit Lions, obviously, you know, Stafford's moved on. This is a big, interesting one. The Colts, the Indianapolis Colts, who are a very good team.
Very interesting. I think they would be a preferred destination for a few quarterbacks. And they are going to be – Tampa this year was the true definition of only a quarterback away, you know, obviously picking up Tom Brady. But this year – or this past year, you know, the Colts tried that in getting Phillip Rivers.
He did good.
To start the year, he continued on his turnover machine ways, but he got better. Yeah. T.Y. Hilton started to get into a little bit of form. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor was a really good pickup for them in the draft. So as the year went on, they got better, and I even said it. I thought they were going to be a really scary prospect coming into the playoffs towards the end of the year. But Jacoby Brissett is a free agent. So essentially the only quarterback that they have on the roster at this point is a rookie from last year in Jacob Eason.
Yeah. Yep.
They are going to be on the hunt. They obviously don't want to decimate the team and gut the team to try and get Deshaun Watson. They obviously want to try and keep as many good parts to that team as they can.
Well, they've got a $70 million cap space. So
the cap space isn't the problem if you're trying to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Well, no. That's right. I don't think Deshaun Watson goes there. I thought Stafford would have been a perfect fit there, but obviously that's sort of taken.
I absolutely thought Stafford would have been perfect there, but once again, it's the
And I thought it's the
trade market. So cap space doesn't really help you out in the trade market. You've got to go out there and try and find a big fat free agent.
The New England Patriots.
Oh.
With a $70 million cap space as well.
Again.
No. Yeah, same thing.
Really, it's not really helping them. So.
I think they're going to have to
go through the draft.
So that'll have the 15th pick in the draft. So it depends who can sort of fall there. Like a lot of mock drafts have Devontae Smith falling that far because which would be amazing if he goes.
Oh my god, that's never had that. That's
never going to happen.
Never going to happen. Not a chance in hell.
I
that is going to happen.
Reading. I don't think so. I think they'll buy. There's a lot of wide receivers and running backs. They'll buy in the market. For a quarterback, I keep reading that they want to go back with Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
Keep reading that everywhere. They
know what he is. But in saying that, then they're going to have to be a little bit smarter in free agency and in the draft to get him something to throw to.
That's what I'm saying.
If he has the same garbage that Cam Newton had to throw to, then it's going to be a horrible season.
Because they have a $70 million cap space, they, some of the free agents like Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson II, Juju Smith. So there's definitely some wide.
They can splurge.
Kenny Stills, Brandon Cooks. There's a few decent sort of wide receivers out there, so they could splurge. But I think.
Splurge.
I don't think they look at the market. I think they have to trade to get a quarterback. Which is beyond what Belichick would do, but.
But
I think the Cam Newton experiment.
I'm pretty sure Belichick was the one that wanted to move on from Tom Brady a couple of years ago. And once that little nugget of information got out there and Belichick wanted to go with Jimmy G. And, funnily enough, I'm pretty sure it was that year that when that information come out, Jimmy G's gone.
Unless they go for Jacoby Brissett, so.
Well, and he knows the system and that he as well. He's obviously not as good as what Jimmy G is. Like Jimmy G, all he's done in San Francisco is win. When he's on the field, they're winners. When he's not on the field, they're not that great. So he's had a couple of years of injury. I think that'd be the only problem there is injury wise. Same deal. You keep him protected. And I think they could really rewind the clock a little bit there and go back with who they thought was the heir apparent to Tom Brady and go back with Jimmy G.
So you said I'd read the same thing. It's a restructured contract. So in all safe bets, Drew Brees will be at the Saints next year. I think that's pretty stock standard. We can move on. He's restructured. So clearly he hasn't come out and said he's retired. So clearly he's playing next year. Correct.
I am to the belief that once you start to restructure that contract and
start to save
the team of money and I think it goes up until March, like the new league season. This is the first step to retirement.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think so. It definitely
this
is.
The first step to retirement.
After the 64 broken ribs, I thought this year would have been his last year, but so maybe he's got one more year in him.
Honestly, as much as I love him and as much as what he's done for the franchise, and yes, as much of a bitter taste in his mouth that it would be in his last game, I honestly don't know if you can rewind back again.
No. He can't throw the long ball anymore. He can't.
I think they have to move on. I think they do.
Yeah, I think they have to, but or you give him one more try. I think they have to give him one more try. I think they have to. Because what are they losing? They're not going to lose Thomas at free agency. Kamara's signed a long-term contract. I think you give him one more go and probably get him, if he's restructuring, get another wide receiver, because there's plenty out there. Marvin Jones is out there. You know, he's another good one. He's 30 years old, but he's pretty freaking good still. Give him one more shot. If it's no good, even though he can't throw the long ball, then he'll just look at it and go, nah, I can't do it anymore. Not to the team kind of thing.
That's the thing. I still think he believes he can. And they can win with that dink and dunk style of offense, and you know, yards after the catch type offense. They're just for the NFL these days. They're not an explosive offense, and you've got to be able to scare teams.
Yeah.
These days, and the Saints with Drew Brees and I hate to say it, noodle arm Drew Brees. They don't scare me.
Nah.
If you're a defense, that you're not scared down the field, so you can stack the box, and then that takes the effectiveness away from guys like Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara. So that's a problem.
Unless he gets on the Tom Brady diet, that's probably what they talked about after that game on the field. Get on that Tom Brady diet.
He just needs to pump some roids into that right arm or something. Like he just needs to. Like you can still see that Tom has got the ability to throw the deep ball. Drew Brees does not.
Ah, that's right.
And he hasn't for a couple of years.
Next team. This is the one that I honestly have no idea. They have a huge cap space. They have a very, very high draft pick. I have no idea what they're doing. The New York Jets.
New York Jets.
You knew I was going to say it. What do they do? So they've got a second highest behind Jacksonville. They got a $75 million cap. They have the second pick in the draft. Deshaun, I read just yesterday that it's not one of his favorite destinations. It really isn't.
But it's not one of his favorite destinations, but it is on the radar, and it is a destination. There's plenty of teams out there that haven't been talked about at all, but the New York Jets, and he has expressed very small interest.
Do you want to know where I honestly think he's going? To be completely honest, because he's from this place, he grew up in this place, he wants to put money into this place. It's the Carolina Panthers. That's where he was born there, he was raised there. He wants to buy all these all these old plantation, you know, farms, so to speak, and put money into them and change them to black schools, all this sort of stuff.
Well, they played in Clemson, which is in South Carolina, so
that's exactly right. And they have decent cap space, and they're not sold on Bridgewater. They were looking effectively, well, they were looking at Stafford. So
that's right. They were very much in the hunt for Stafford. You know, so to me, that tells me that they're totally not sold on Bridgewater. Was there backup PJ Walker?
Yes.
XFL player PJ Walker. So.
He was pretty. He played half. Man, okay. I loved him.
The couple of games that he was on, he was impressive.
I thought he was
a nice player. So that we'll sucks for Bridgewater, Jets. But in saying that, then it's, you know, that could be a deal, you know, quarterback for quarterback plus a plethora of picks.
Well, that's right, because you think, you know, they've got the eighth pick this year, which you could definitely pick up a quarterback if, you know, Bridgewater plus then a decent high quarterback for Houston.
Well, that's right. You could throw in this year's pick.
Plus then,
and at least then Houston has the opportunity to then pick in the first round, since they traded all their first round picks away.
Can you imagine Deshaun Watson and Christian McCaffrey on the same side? Holy hell. But we'll get back to the one we thought, like the Jets. Do they I think they have to stick with Sam Darnold, and I still think they pick a quarterback in that second pick.
I think they go somewhere like Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith.
Ooh, really?
I think
I honestly, I think I
They're going to give him something.
No, but this is where I said they've got 75 million cap space. I think they pick a quarterback, and I think they go after players like Juju and that. Juju would relish being in New York, as an example. I think that they'll buy two or three decent wide receivers. But that's, but so you're under the under, so you're sorry, you're, like,
you don't need multiple wide receivers. You need protection for Darnold first.
Well, you got Quinn and Williams there. He's not sort of too bad. That's all they really got. So you need
protection first.
So you think they'll give Sam Darnold another run?
I think they'll give him another run, and there's a possibility that they could trade down and still pick a very good wide receiver. Whether or not they make it, whoever they trade with, I don't think they want to trade too far out, you know, anywhere, you know, they wouldn't want to trade outside the top 10.
Nah.
But I think that there will be some form of them trading out, and they'll run it back with Darnold, and we'll see what they do in the draft, whether or not if they run it back with Darnold, I don't think that they will pick a quarterback.
They have to trade him.
That's right. I think they trade out. Yeah, even if it's back to 6 or 7 or 8, and still can pick up a really good sort of wide receiver.
Or they pick a quarterback and then trade Sam Darnold, and then I'm on the belief.
Who out of these guys do you think is better than Sam Darnold? Outside of Trevor Lawrence.
I don't know. I honestly don't mind Justin Fields. I don't mind Justin Fields because he can run out of the Sam Darnold can't. Justin Fields can run out of the pocket while there's really no offensive line. He can run at least run out of the pocket and run away like I'm Mahomes. I can see what you're sort of saying. I suppose
you just set yourself back to where you were 3 years ago.
That's right.
That's the problem.
Right. Yeah. I don't think Deshaun goes there.
I don't think he's going there.
It's funny, so because that's the next team I want to talk about. It's Houston. Do they, and you know, some late breaking news while we're mixing it in, they are effectively
holy hell! There is a lineup as far as the eye can see.
Okay,
so out of the GM's office right now for people who want to get the F out of Houston.
They've released their cornerstone player. I'll say their cornerstone because he is their cornerstone. Well, except for Deshaun Watson.
He's been the face of the franchise the last 10 years.
This is Deshaun. This is JJ Watt. He's now effectively an exclusive free agent. I will commend Houston for giving him what they want. I will give them that. You have to give them that. But what the hell are they doing? So, and then secondly, do they keep Deshaun Watson? Do they start the season with Deshaun Watson? Because they don't have to do anything.
There's the possibility that they could just go, no. They are holding firm. They are absolutely holding firm. The phone is ringing off the hook, and they're not entertaining any deals for Deshaun Watson. So this is a very high price game of chicken that's happening right now.
A very high price chicken. I think they have to get a deal. I think they can't not start the season with him. I think they have to get a deal done. They have to get a deal done. And then the Stafford one will at least go. And I'm not saying he's probably worth more than Stafford, but then it's hard to see what you're going to give him. So I agree. I think he's going to the Panthers. What about, because they've given up on, well, they've released one of their quarterbacks. What do Washington football team do? Because their team... I know it wasn't the greatest record, but they played a lot better than they have in other seasons. They have a great defensive line. They have a couple of really good offensive players, really young. You know, Terry McLaurin is their wide receiver. They've got a really good young team.
McLaurin. Lance Thomas is made the transition from a college quarterback to being an NFL tight end because he's a tall dude. Obviously they've got a good linchpin defensively in Chase Young and you know him being young, so look, no pun intended.
No, clearly not.
Like I sort of said earlier, like Tyler Henneke has scored himself a 2-year deal, so The problem is that they've got now, they've still got three quarterbacks on the roster. So they've got Tyler Henneke, they've got Kyle Allen, who they brought across, you know, Ron Rivera brought across from Carolina, who was extremely sporadic last year. Pretty much lost. Before that, they even had Dwayne Haskins on there. Now he's gone and he's at Pittsburgh. So, you know, there's another one that you could say that what's Pittsburgh doing? And they've also got Alex Smith. Now, obviously, Alex Smith isn't the future, but who's the best option out of those three? Like, if you want to go on recency bias, it's Tyler Henneke.
Has to be Tyler Henneke. Yeah, has to be.
But there had to have been a reason why Rivera brought across Kyle Allen. Obviously, he likes what Kyle Allen brings to the table. I just don't think that you can win a whole lot with him as your starter for 16 games.
No, I don't. I don't think so either. I don't know. Is it a desired destination too? Is the other thing, like, it's still Washington. I don't.
I mean, I'm sure there's other teams out there that are a whole lot less desirable.
Well, this is a good point. You mean like the Houston Texans and the Jets?
You mean like
starters?
The Houston Texans?
Yeah. I think they put their name in the trade mix. I don't know what, and I don't know who, and I don't know what they have to give up, but I have to think they put their name in the mix because they're outside the top 15 for the draft. So I think I you're right. I don't think, except for Tyler Henneke, I don't think you can run a season with him. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, we don't know what he was like.
And that's the thing. You know, obviously, Rivera likes him. And that's kind of important that your head coach has got faith in you. But I think they could go after a little bit bigger fish to get their team moving forward.
Last one, the team that I wanted to finish on, and this is purely because of the Tom Brady experiment, the Packers. Not Packers. I'm not saying the Packers do anything, but does Aaron Rodgers do something about it? No. Because of what happened to Tom Brady, and you get sick of, like, you don't give me what I need. Sort of what happened to Tom Brady. New England didn't give him what he needed. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying, does he think like that a little bit?
There's BS floating about out there that Russell Wilson could be on the move. Like, please, they're still under contract, right? That means somebody's got to trade for them. Could you imagine the price it would cost a team to trade for Aaron Rodgers? To trade for Russell Wilson. That's not happening unless you're getting a semi superstar back. It's not happening.
I don't think it will either. I just think it's interesting that what he and talking about Tom Brady here, what he did when he effectively, and this is probably which I'm looking up now, when he effectively ended his contract and just sort of walked out because he had no backup. I mean, I think that he's one of those untouchables as well. He's still got 3 years remaining on his contract, so he's most likely going nowhere. So
he's not going anywhere.
That were sort of all the ones I think really. The rest of them are sort of untouchable. I mean, you could say yes, just say yes, and I'm pretty sure these are all untouchable. But the Cardinals and Kyler Murray,
untouchable.
The Falcons and Matt Ryan. He won't move, but...
Not untouchable.
Not untouchable. Interesting. Interesting.
Indianapolis Colts, maybe?
They're going quarterback.
I think he's a lot more serviceable than what Phillip Rivers was.
100%. They're going quarterback in the draft. They are 100% going quarterback.
So is Atlanta.
No, that's what I'm saying. Atlanta. Yeah. No, Atlanta are going quarterback. 100% Atlanta. They're the fourth draft pick. They've never had that. They're going quarterback. 100%. Ravens, Lamar Jackson. That's untouchable. The Bills and Josh Allen. Same thing, I think. Untouchable. Bengals, Joe Burrow. Untouchable. The Browns and Baker Mayfield. I think that's working.
I think they've proven that they've got the right formula there. Yeah. So not so much that he's untouchable, but I don't see any sort of action happening there.
The Chiefs, we don't even need to talk about. The Chargers and Justin Herbert, same thing. Yeah. We don't even need to talk about. the Dolphins and Tua.
There's, I think that's the most intriguing,
intriguing
one of the lot, and that is another preferred destination of Deshaun Watson. So some sort of deal, which is extremely ironic that Houston trade all of their first round picks to Miami, and if this deal goes through, they could get a whole lot back. So
they're losing nothing because they're getting back Houston. They're giving up what they took from Houston, so they lost nothing.
Right. But that's the thing. It's the parlay of Miami having these draft picks and turning them into Deshaun Watson.
I think because they're contract bound, the Vikings are Kirk Cousins. I don't think that's changing.
He's not untouchable, but
no, he's not untouchable. I just think they're sort of stuck with him, is what I'm saying.
They're stuck. That's the appropriate word, stuck.
The Giants. I think Daniel Jones
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I think the Eagles, I think they're all in on Jalen Hurts. I think we think Carson Wentz is going to go.
I think a deal is, from what I'm hearing, a deal for Wentz is extremely imminent.
The Steelers.
Look, Big Ben.
Yeah, he hasn't confirmed or denied anything yet. Yeah, no, so.
But the funny little nugget that's out there at the moment is the Pouncey twins have retired. And I think it was Marquise Pouncey had always said, I will play as long as Ben Roethlisberger plays. So take that how you will. So does that mean that there's another Drew Brees situation because I think Big Ben is owed like $41 million next year. So that is a huge, huge cap hit.
unless he retires,
they may have scored a possible promising prospect. Wow, three P's there. In Dwayne Haskins. So what do they do with him? So that's a really weird situation. Is a restructure coming? Is a retirement imminent? I know Big Ben wanted to give his full and undivided attention for that last 2 years that he signed. So obviously last year and this upcoming season, he wanted to give his all, and that's why he signed the 2-year contract. He still thought he had one more year after this year. So whether or not the Steelers repay the faith, they need to really sort out their offensive line and get that up and running, because Ben is not so much turning into noodle arm Breeze, but it's becoming very close.
Seahawks, Wilson's not going anywhere. The Bucks, Brady will stay there, run it back another year.
He's playing there till he's 48.
And the Titans.
He's having fun.
The Titans. I think Tannehill, I think they're pretty happy. They didn't have a bad season. I think Tannehill's landing, just signed a contract last year. I think he's fine. So well, that's it's interesting. It's funny, out of all that, I didn't think we definitively, and I still don't believe it completely, I still don't think we definitively have decided that Deshaun Watson's going anywhere.
Not yet.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely crazy. If you're Houston, you have to, you know, you got rid of JJ, you have to do it. Just blow up and start again. You have to.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you know, they've got the ownership there in Houston, has only recently sort of been handed down. The McNair family is the one that owns the Texans, and now the son is running it, and it just seems like he is just absolutely running it into the ground. Just very strange what they're doing there in Houston, but I think it's Steve McNair that's sort of running everything there now. Bob McNair was the former owner, or you know, the previous owner. So it's what they're doing now is pretty, to me, is an absolute direct result from them having Bill O'Brien as the head coach. Mm-hmm. And the GM. You can't skimp out these days. Like, it does not work.
Yep.
To have the head coach, to be the general manager, and to have those decisions lying on his head, it simply can't happen. Like you can't skimp out anymore. It can't happen in the NBA. I think the last person that was actually doing that was Stan Van Gundy in Detroit. It can't happen anymore. They're two separate positions. Granted, you've got to be on the same page as the head coach and the GM, but
especially for the draft. That's exactly. The only time they should be on the same page, draft and free agency, but that's it. As in, you're right. I totally agree. It's two separate positions. That's how it should be.
If you got the cash and you're an NFL owner, like, you know, the purse strings are a little bit tighter. More recently with, you know, the salary cap going down and obviously revenue going down with the pandemic and stuff like that. So that sort of tightens the purse strings a little bit. But please, if you're an NFL owner, then you are a multi-billionaire.
Of course you are.
Billionaire. Oh, they're all billionaires. Yeah, so you can afford to splurge on a GM if you don't want to look like an absolute tire fire that's burning out of control like it is in Houston at the moment.
That's awesome.
It's unreal. Like, and then just the lineup to get out the door at Houston is as far as the eye can see.
It'll be an interesting offseason.
And you've got to think about the guys that are really, that are tied to the club, that don't have the leverage to go out there and say, hey, I want to be traded too. Hey, I want to release as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, these guys are going to have to just, you know, rehash everything. And you know, when minicamp and OTAs and everything come up, they've just got to rock up and go to work.
Yep. And I think, honestly, it starts by not getting rid of Deshaun Watson, but getting the value back so you can start again. Has to.
That's the thing, you know. And are you going to get value back?
If you go the Miami route, I think you will. I think you get a young Tua.
I think you can.
I think you get a young Tua. I think you get another couple of draft picks, and I think you get that number two back that you effectively should have had anyway. So I think you do. I frees up a lot of cap space. He'll be on a rookie contract. I think it's the smartest way to go.
I think that's the only deal that can be made.
Well, I think it's just the smartest. Like, it's for both teams. I think, I mean, like, anybody could take Deshaun Watson, but Deshaun can really go into that side, and he's effectively got a contending team straight away on literally all ends. They've got a great defense. They've got two all-star Pro Bowl cornerbacks. So I think it's the smartest for them. Ironic as it is, because of the trade for Laremy Tunsil, but
the irony is unbelievable.
But if they can get a couple of, you know, two or three plus that one plus Tua, I think that's not bad to start with. A young, you know, 23-year-old quarterback.
You can't fault it. Unlike the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Well, yeah. Wow. Well. That'll do it, I guess, for this. It'll probably be our last NFL pod. We'll definitely, obviously, on our Facebook, which you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, we'll definitely put links and anything that's happening sort of quickly on, because it just happens. Like I said, this offseason is going to be absolutely crazy. So
we will be up day and night scouring the internet for stolen information for everybody's enjoyment.
And we might we'll definitely look at doing a pod, I think, I guess, for the rookies or around the rookie, you know, when we're closer to the draft day, because I'm assuming there'll be a lot, especially there'll be a lot of news, not so much the draft, but there'll be definitely a lot of news of potential trade ups, trade downs, like you said, or trade outs. So,
yeah, that's right. And like we said, you know, the circus that's going to be the quarterback market this year is going to be just very fruitful. So I think there's going to be a lot of action this off season and when the new league season starts in March.
Well, forget about the carousel. There's going to be in the top, I think in the top 15, definitely in the first round draft, there's going to be four or five quarterbacks going in the first round. So that's unbelievable.
There could be four quarterbacks taken in the top 10.
It literally can be. So, and, you know, speaking of, just thought we'd finish on just with, you know, your presumptive number one, Trevor Lawrence, having shoulder surgery on his non-throwing arm, but it doesn't look like it's going to affect him to start the season. So
He had his pro day the other day, so I have no idea. Apparently 16 teams showed up. I have no idea why 16 teams could have showed up.
I wouldn't have wasted the money.
But apparently he's throwing to the former Clemson teammate. So obviously they just want to lay some eyeballs on some Clemson teammates as well. There should have just been one team there and that's it. But you know, there was other players there that he was. Apparently he only threw like 40 passes. That was it.
I didn't mention Jags. They are the one with the highest cap going into this year at $80 million and the number one pick. Surely the 16 teams turned up. Surely they're not that silly at training that number one pick. Surely. And the only one that really makes sense is Deshaun Watson again.
That absolutely could be a possibility. Could you do that straight up? Nothing else. The number one pick, Deshaun Watson.
Could you? Yes.
Would you?
I don't know. Because they've got 80 million.
He's an attractant wherever he goes. So the quicker you get this deal done, that means the quicker that team, whoever scores Deshaun Watson, can go out and start plugging to free agents. Like you said, like Chris Godwin, like Juju Smith-Schuster, and go, hey, Do you want the ball thrown to you by Deshaun Watson? You should come to our franchise.
But the thing is, the reason I don't think, because even though I've got the $80 million, Deshaun will probably take up, what, 30 million of the, to 40 million of that cap. So effectively, yeah, that's okay. And you buy a couple of wide receivers, then, you know, he's just going to get smashed on that. Oh, they've got nothing. They've got no offensive line. They've got a lot of work.
Urban Meyer. They got a lot of work to do there, Jacksonville.
I think they take Trevor Lawrence, and I think they start fixing that offensive line and then maybe getting one or two wide receivers. It would be intriguing as hell. Just imagine that, you know, that Jacksonville goes on the clock and then you know, 2 minutes later, the words come, there's a trade.
That would be the blockbuster of just any sort of recent, draft.
The last 50 years. It'd have to be. They were the last 50 years. The number one presumptive pick who's been compared to Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning and everything like that.
No, that's right. Yeah, they're saying that he is an absolute can't miss, or the most can't miss prospect since Andrew Luck.
I don't know. I just don't think Urban Meyer. Surely Urban Meyer took that job knowing exactly what he wanted to do. I mean, granted, Deshaun Watson probably wasn't on the radar then, but it's intriguing, but I don't think so. I don't think they're that silly.
No, not that. But the thing is Deshaun Watson is a proven commodity.
That's right.
At the NFL level, and
that's right.
Trevor Lawrence to date, he's not even in the NFL. So
oh my God, if that happens, my God.
Do you know what I mean? That's what it comes down to, and that's what a lot of these teams. Wow. Will absolutely be looking at is that Deshaun Watson is the proven commodity.
Yeah, two-time Pro Bowler on a terrible team. Yeah, no, he is.
Led the league in pass yards this year on a 4-12 team.
If that trade happens, it doesn't happen now, that only happens on draft day. It only has to happen on draft day. My God, that draft day is going to be—they're going to be a billion eyeballs on that because that is going to be the biggest. That is going to be the biggest draft day for a very long time. Huge, because
I think a deal could be done before then anyway. Even though they're playing a bit of a game of chicken at the moment, but to see who flinches first. So I guess we'll find out, I suppose.
Mention the where to follow us. Shout out obviously always to gimco.com.au. If you're completely into my fellow colleague into trading cards, that's where you go, especially for NFL breaks, NBA breaks.
NBA, NFL, AFL, Major League Baseball, WWE. They've got everything that would accommodate your sporting like. So,
and,
Just a quick shout out. Thanks, Dom, for the Super Bowl break. That was really good.
Yeah, I'm dirty on that. But anyway,
some nice stuff come out in the big boy boxes at the end of the break. So I think everyone would even pretty happy with that. I'm happily awaiting my Saints cards to be showing up in the mail momentarily.
And I did some when I was looking to do my first break, so to speak, because it will be my first break. I did do some research, and their prices, I'm telling you now, by far and away the most comparable to everybody else.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So absolutely.
OJ King has always, you know, sort of has done the break for, you know, for the absolute best price.
Yes.
That's out there for the products that they get out there. You know, they get a lot of first off the line stuff. The card market at the moment, especially, you know, like we said before, you know, with recent products, you know, whether it be the NFL, whether it be the NBA, they're out of control. They're so expensive now.
Oh, it's
breaks are still fairly affordable.
Yeah, their breaks are very affordable because I was telling a couple of people, it's literally now, I was saying it to you listening to this podcast, buying trading cards now and having trading cards is literally like the stock market now. It is that chaotic. It's people, I think you even mentioned it, people are bored, especially in the States and all that. They have to stay home. They have all this money. The people that have really a lot of money just are, this is their stock market. Yep, seriously.
This is what they're doing.
And like, again, going back to Gimco, they're extremely affordable. If you see the value, if you Google value of cards, of anybody's cards, those breaks are extremely affordable.
Yeah. So get on to Gimco, onto their website, gimko.com.au. And they also have a Facebook page as well. You can obviously like them on Facebook. You can also get on to Eureka Sports Cards. That's their sort of official Facebook page. So that's where you get a lot of info on some of the breaks that are recently posted up. Like AFL always goes gangbusters with them. It's just always a shout out to Gimco. They're always good to us. So, you know, we're always trying to be the best possible people back towards them. So that's what we're all about.
Well, that'll do it for this week's NFL. My name's Jason, because you used it before, Tyre Fire Smith.
Oh, unbelievable.
Tyre Fire, I love it.
I'm Miles. What in the holy hell is happening in Houston, Plum? Like, just...
Oh, poor Houston.
When that come out, like, yeah, that news about JJ Watt come out, it's just like, this is not happening.
Can you
imagine being Houston fans? Like, just a Houston sports fan at the moment.
In general, yeah.
Compare that to being a Tampa Bay sports fan at the moment.
Isn't it interesting? We finished the NFL pod exactly like this last time, and we're saying exactly the same thing because another bit of NFL Houston news has come out. We said exactly the same thing.
Unreal.
That's mean.
Yeah, you put the shoe on the other foot. Yeah, imagine being a Tampa Bay sports fan at the moment. Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. The Tampa Bay Rays went to the World Series, and now, you know, the Bucks are the Super Bowl champions. Like, that's title town at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It's title town at the moment.
Unreal. Like, you know, obviously that, you know, I guess we'll talk a bit in our next NBA pod, but you know, Toronto looks like they're staying there for the rest of the year. So, that's interesting. Little nugget there as well. So I think Tampa's in at the moment.
Their place to be. It's the place to be.
It's happy time in Tampa.
All right, have a good week, everyone.
See ya. Happy time.